Well, before I get started this morning, there's something very important, very, very important that I have to announce. I'm sort of sad about it. But yesterday was Rosemary's birthday, so let's turn around and let's sing happy birthday to Rosemary. All right? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Rosemary. Happy birthday to you. And many more. Yeah. Wow. You probably know by now that I'm a big fan of the book of James. So we're going to finish the first chapter today. This will be the third message. I sat down and planned out the rest of the four chapters. There's five chapters in James. If I preach once or twice a year when Tom goes on vacation, or heaven forbid it, he gets sick or something, I could finish James when I'm 96. So, oh, he's laughing. If I, you know, the Queen's 96 right now, so maybe there's a chance, I don't know. But I really do enjoy this book. I want to start off just by reading the rest of the chapter, verses 19 through 27. So let's start in verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, but slow to speak and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word, but be doers. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. I made an outline. I don't know if you want to jot this down. It's sort of a long one, but it is an outline just the same. So in verse 19, there's really 3 points there. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. In verse 20, anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. 21, get rid of filth and evil. Receive the word. It can save you. 22, be doers of the word. 23, it's like a man looking in the mirror. 24, then he forgets what he's like. 25, do not be a forgetful hearer, but do and but be a doer who acts. A doer will be blessed. 26, we must control our tongue. 27, look after those who need your help and keep oneself unstained by the world. Okay, let's unpack this. I want to go through this one verse at a time. I know that's a lot of verses, and but we can get out of here, I think, by around 11:30. So in James 1:19, it says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." First of all, listening. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak. What a challenging idea. And it's only the first of a number of ideas that James is going to bring to bear upon us in a way that will make many of us squirm under the impact of its truth, especially me. "Forgetting that I have been given two ears and only one mouth, so that I could listen twice as much as I talk." Somehow, I have a real problem with this. Talking too much and not listening. Now, I know from the first time I got up here, I told you that I was born at a very early age. But later on, in my childhood, my mother would always give this riddle whenever we crossed a railroad track. Maybe you've heard this riddle. Railroad crossings, watch out for the cars. Can you spell that without any R's? Can you? Railroad crossing, watch out for the cars. Can you spell that without any R's? Some time had passed of me hearing this riddle many times. I didn't get it. I wasn't listening. Someone had to explain the answer to the riddle to me. Railroad crossing. Watch out for the cars. Can you spell that without any R's? Okay, I got it finally. I had not been listening, too much talking. I want you to know there's a gal in our family. Maybe you know who I'm talking about. But she just loves to talk. It seems like she has this big leak, you know, that she's got to get it out, but she hasn't got anything to replace the leak with. Now, this sort of cuts close to home here. As you know, I'm a little bit guilty of talking too much myself, but what if, can you imagine this? What if before you went to sleep at night, you had to listen to everything you said during the day? Think about that. You probably wouldn't say as much the next day, so you wouldn't have to listen to it. In Matthew 13:9, at the end of the parable of the seeds, remember the girls' Bible study, and the women, I should say, have been studying the parables, and one of the parables was the parable of the seeds. You all know what that parable is. But you do know at the end of the parable, Jesus says, "Whoever has ears, let them hear." So, be quick to listen. Listen to what? Well, of course, mainly God's word. And when we listen, whoa. That's the best part of the sermon, wasn't it? Okay. Are we back on there, Jed? Huh? Okay. When we listen and actually hear what God is saying, then action normally follows. In Proverbs 2, which we have been studying in our life group, verses 1 through 6, let me read those to you. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, it talks about warning to pay attention. It goes like this: we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. Proverbs 16:20 talks about giving attention to the word. It says, whoever gives heed to instruction prospers, and blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. And the rest of verse 19 has to do with being slow to anger. I looked this up. The Greek word orge is a noun, originally meant any natural impulse or desire or disposition signified anger as the strongest of all passions. It is used of its use is in the wrath. In other words, the word wrath of man in Ephesians, Colossians, and of course here in James. Anger in James 1:19 suggests a more settled or abiding condition of mind, frequently with a view of revenge. It is less sudden, but is more lasting in its nature. However, unchecked anger can easily become wrath. Wrath indicates a more agitated condition of feelings. Wrath expresses more inward feelings, where anger is the more active emotion. In either case, we are commanded to be slow to activate anger or wrath. In other words, how are we going to control ourselves? And how can we overcome anger? Psalms 4:4 says, be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own heart and on your own bed and be silent. Proverbs 14:29, whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. Anger, verse 20 says, anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. Becoming angry can cause you to murder someone. You all know the story of Nabal, Abigail, and David, right? Let me just sort of recap it. David was hiding, you know, from Saul. He had his mighty men hiding in the caves around Carmel. And at that same time, they were protecting Nabal's shepherds and his many, many sheep and goats from predators and neighboring tribes. David heard that Nabal was shearing the sheep. The custom at that time was to provide food and supplies to the men who protect the sheep at that time during the shearing. So what did David do? He sent 10 men over to Nabal's place. They asked for a tip, so to speak, you know, because they had been protecting the sheep, thousands of sheep, apparently, and all the goats and the shepherds. But Nabal rejected David, remember? And he sent him, the 10 men, back with nothing. I mean, nothing. This made David so angry that the anger turned to wrath. And then what did David do? He made plans, if you'll remember, to kill Nabal, his family, plus all his servants and all the shepherds. Well, that's pretty bad. That's real anger. But Abigail saved the day. She heard about Nabal rejecting Dave's men and set out on her own to take food and supplies to David and to ask for forgiveness for Nabal's actions. In 1 Samuel 27, verses 27 and 20, I don't have the chapter here, but I do have the verse numbers. And it goes like this. She was saying, "And let this gift which your servant has brought to my Lord be given to the men who follow you. Please forgive your servant's presumption. The Lord your God will certainly make a lasting dynasty for my Lord because you fight for the Lord's battles, and no wrongdoing will be found in you as long as you live." Well, David's anger could have made him a murderer. And fortunately, like David, I'm also guilty of getting angry when things don't go as planned. Gretchen will tell you. Even today, this morning, I started to get upset over the silliest thing. I couldn't button my shirt. The buttonholes and the buttons, they weren't going in. And then I remembered, oh, maybe I better be slow to anger here. She didn't have to remind me like she normally does when I get frustrated to take a breath, settle down, don't get angry. It doesn't help solve the situation I have created. Being angry won't accomplish God's righteousness. Let me tell you a little story. I sort of mentioned this at the men's breakfast yesterday that I got so mad at this guy I wanted to, you know. And, but I thought, well, I better not tell the story. I have to wait until today. Well, the story goes like this. Gretchen and I had leased a Mexican restaurant in Forest Grove. Now, the landlord there had promised when we leased the property to make a lot of improvements, such as air conditioning, but he never made any of the improvements. I confronted him about this missing promises, and then he denied that he ever made any promises. I became so angry, I wanted to physically hurt him. Praise God, I realized this would not resolve anything. I just had to go make all the improvements myself. Have you ever been in a situation where you're totally innocent and falsely accused? Well, here's what happened with this landlord of ours. When the 3-year lease was up, we decided not to renew the lease. When our 3-year lease was finished, This landlord took us to court. He said we broke the lease and we hadn't been paying rent, which was not true, and we had proof of everything was done correctly. The judge reviewed that, he threw out the case, and told the landlord he had no grounds to bring us to court. Well, praise God, for who is also the great judge and protects us. I'm going to tell you one more story. How anger can turn into rage, wrath, rage. Not too long ago, a young man came to our house wanting compost. I give away or sell compost from the horses, you know. But he came with a U-Haul moving van similar to what you guys had down here when we unloaded it. Your stuff for the house. I mean, come on, give me a break. A U-Haul van, a big box van. I told him I couldn't fill the moving van with my tractor using the front loader. There's no way I could get the compost in there. But this young man became really upset, and he argued with me about not being able to load the moving van that he had rented, of course, and he wanted to take home a load of compost. He said, okay, well, I'll drive up to the compost pile and take a look. I said, okay, there's a shovel up there. Yeah, a shovel. Can you imagine? Okay. He messed around for a few minutes. And then he came back down the driveway, driving that box van as fast as he could down our driveway towards the house. He proceeded to drive over the railroad ties, curbing. You've seen them there before. He drove over it. He drove right up on the lawn where I was standing, going as fast as that truck would go. Luckily, I was able to jump out of the way just in time, and then he jumped back on the driveway and sped off. But this is an example of anger not being under control, which unchecked can lead to rage. You see, my anger or the young man's anger isn't going to bring about the righteousness life that God desires in us. If it did, I think Jesus might have operated in a different way. The cleansing of the temple, though, is so striking in the life of Jesus that we have in the Gospels. It's such an unusual expression of righteous anger. But in the main, Jesus is not known for such displays. His anger was legitimate, but it still stands out. Verse 21, let's go on. In Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." In Hebrews it says, "If we deliberately keep on sinning, after we have received the knowledge of truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God." Verse 22. Be doers of the word. I know we've heard this many, many times. So we can just shut this down and quit listening. We have heard this many times in the past. The danger here is that we can be quick to proclaim the word to others, but not do the work. Real freedom is to be doers of the word. Is what we should do needs to be what we ought to do. We need to be in bondage to God's word. Today, we had a prime example of hearing the word and becoming doers of the word. Two men in our fellowship heard God speak to them about baptism, and they put what they had heard into action today. Verse 23 and 24, "Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like." We see things or know things that we need to work on, such as listening, excessive talking, anger, sin in our life, but we walk away and forget what we need to work on. We've got three more verses. 25. "But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." 26. "Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Now, James goes on to sort of explain this a little bit more in chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. He says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider when a great forest fire is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and itself set on fire by hell. The last verse was 27. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. 1 Timothy says in 5, verses 3 and 4, give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents for this is pleasing to God. Okay, we've covered a lot of verses here. I would recommend that when you get home, go back, reread them, and if you get a chance, go all the way through the five chapters of the book of James. He packs so much punch into these verses, so many things that's practical, things that we should be doing. So let's not be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for Christ's half-brother, James, who wrote this book to give us instruction on how to live, Father. Very clear, concise instructions. And so we ask that we would be listening to the word and then becoming doers of the word, Father. And we ask for this special blessing as we go about our daily life, that we would remember that we should not become angry. We've got to control our temper, Father. So help us with that. And we just thank you for this time here this morning, and especially for the baptism. We can just praise you for how the men obeyed your word. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.